It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast. This is number 314. Bonjour to le monde. Friends and enemies, I guess. How many intros can we do? My name is Joey. Here, as always, I'm the co-host, Len. Buddy, what's going on over there? Great shirt, the Bomb Thrower merch. Love to see it.
That Guten Tag. Everything is good over here. It's where the end of summer looks like, unfortunately, it gets dark much earlier. The hot weather, extremely hot weather, is done. Yeah, I could see you're showing it off in the background. I would do the same, but the window is just wrapped around a corner over here. I don't get any direct light down here, which is kind of
one hour a day because... where you are, right?
Is that yeah, what they give you? That's it. And some a little bit of porridge, and that's about it. So here I am. But everything's good, man. How about you?
I'm great. I just finished recording an episode of CBP with Mike Campbell, Money Talks. He's one of my favorite people in podcasting and finance for sure. But also, we have a lot of great guests over the years. We've done the show, and he's one of my favorites. And I've been on his show a few times. He's very, for a guy who's done so much in business, finance, whatever, he's very humble. And I'm always, always, always super happy to chat with him. So just finished that. Me and you were giving up opening night. I got my phone here. I'm like watching my fantasy team. I don't know when those games start, but if they started at 8 o'clock and I don't have any notifications for touchdowns yet, I'm in trouble, buddy. I'm not getting any notifications for scores here. I need points to win, man.
You're talking about the No Fun League?
Yeah, the No Fun League.
Well, there you go. It's living up to its name. There you go. So maybe at the end there'll be a rouge or something that's gonna. What's a rouge? I don't know. Is it 1 point?
The rouge? It's 1 point. It's 1 point. Yeah, you kick it through the end zone, or they take it, or you kick a field goal and it goes far enough that the guy can't get it out of the end zone. Yeah.
Okay. Question for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's third and goal. You're at the two. What do? Do you punt it in there or do you do a field goal?
No, you go for it. You go. It depends on how much time is left, but generally you go for it because generally what teams do in the CFL is they will concede a safety.
Last second, tied game, ball in a two, third and goal.
You kick it through the end zone because you can
be kick it with a punt. Or with
you punt it through because it's a guaranteed point. Okay. I mean, unless your punter, unless he doesn't get foot on ball enough and shanks it. Like, I don't know.
So you're putting the extra guy in a line to give some protection. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
There you go. So there's some CFL talk. We got some inside football here. And
good content. Access of Easy 314. Last week's quote. Wisdom, compassion, and courage are... Oh my God. Hold on. I got to make this bigger. Wisdom, compassion, and courage are the three universally recognized moral qualities of men. That was by... Confucius. Congrats to Craig for that.
You could tell it was an old quote. If it was more modern, it would have been human, people, something along those lines.
The moral qualities of people. Classic. Classic. This week's quote, it takes considerable knowledge just to realize the extent of your own ignorance. I don't know who that was by, but maybe you do, dear listener, dear viewer. If you know, as always, put it in the comments. No cheating. Look it up and you lose. If you win, though, your next round of hosting, I think, is on Mark and the EasyDNS team, which is great. And don't forget.
We're all winners anyways.
We're all winners over here. If you're listening, watching, leave a review, subscribe, and make sure that you tell your friends about the Access of Easy podcast. In the newsletter, you can go to accessofeasy.com and sign up for that and get all the stories, not just the ones that we talk about here. Now, Len, let's get into it. Where do you want to start?
Last pass, which... should be the last time anyone would want to use this stupid service. Because in November 2022, I seem to recall this, but file it in my memories. But anyways, this is a password manager service. You know, you enter your passwords, it stores it on there because there's just so many passwords we have. Well, they disclosed that there was a breach. And back in November, hackers stole a crap load of passwords. And this includes both encrypted and plain text data for more than 25 million people. And this is for encrypted passwords, usernames, and form-filled data. That's a lot of information that they have access to for us 25 million people. And since then, it's been reported that there's a high number of high-profile cryptocurrency heists that have targeted supposedly security conscious people throughout the tech industry. I guess they're not really security focused.
A lot of air quotes over here. A lot of air quotes. Yeah.
Yeah. Just keep busting them out. And these heists, they're not cheap because they're in the realm, a lot of them in six figure losses. So a lot of people lost their shirt and a heck of a lot more. Security experts, they have begun to suspect that the LastPass data that was stolen, they were using this information to crack into cryptocurrency wallets. And they came to this conclusion based on a number of factors, including the timing of the heist and also the fact that some of the victims also reported that they had their LastPass accounts compromised prior to the account, to the crypto heist. So this is easy putting two and two together. It's not like they had Sherlock Holmes working on this one. In August 2023, Taylor Monahan, he's the lead product manager of MetaMask. And MetaMask, I can't get enough thumbs down for this product here. It's a popular software cryptocurrency wallet, which is absolutely trash in my opinion. Yeah. They published a thread on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it these days, documenting a number of six-figure crypto heists, including security-conscious people that I mentioned earlier. And Monahan noted that a common thread amongst the victims that they previously used LastPass, to store their seed phrase. So that's the wrong place you should be storing your seed phrase, on a password manager. That's
it literally tells you, no matter what wallet you use, do not take a screenshot. Do not put in your notes app. Do not put in your, like, it tells you, even MetaMask probably tells you that. And people do it anyways. Why?
I think you're giving me too much credit to MetaMask. I don't know if they...
I'm going to download it. You keep talking. I'm going to find it right now. Live on air research.
Monahan's finding has also been collaborated by other security experts. For example, in September 2023, just this month, in fact, Brian Krebs, and this is a well-known cybersecurity journalist, he published an article on his website, Krebs on Security, that also raised concerns about the possibility that the crooks are also cracking into people's wallets using the stolen LastPass keys. Makes sense. I mean, again, Sherlock Holmes could have came to this conclusion. And it's important to note that LastPass has not confirmed that the stolen data has been used for people getting into these cryptocurrency wallets. However, there's a lot of evidence out there. It's mounting and it's hard just to overlook everything. So some of the specifics that's being recommended by LastPass for whatever users are still using it. If you are, I would run away very fast, but if you're still using it, they recommend changing your master password immediately. They also recommend enabling 2FA, so, or even multi-factor authentication. So in fact, you could use multi-factor for entering into your account. Considering using a password manager other than LastPass, such as KeePass XC or Bitwarden. Bitwarden, it seems to have a lot of positive reviews in the industry. To be perfectly honest, I can't say much about it. I haven't used it, but I haven't heard anything bad about it, but take that for a grain of salt. And also they say be careful when clicking on links and everything and phishing attacks, because it's out there and they're here to try to steal your information. Joey, looks like you got some very hot off the press information with respect to MetaMask. Lay it on me, brother.
We're going to see here. I'm in the secure your wallet screen on MetaMask. It says there's ways to secure your wallet. The manual way is to write it down on a piece of paper and store it in a safe place. Security level, very strong. Risks are you lose it, you forget it, or someone else finds it. Tips, stored in a bank vault. That's probably not great advice. Stored in a safe, that's okay advice. Stored in multiple secret places. I guess as long as you don't make copies, maybe split it. Is that what they're suggesting? I'm not sure. So I'll start.
Well, in case you lose access to one of them.
Okay,
like,
so
I'll give you an example. You bury it in your backyard, you lose access to your house.
Yeah. You just go back and dig up the guy's backyard.
If you get access to it. So I guess the theory behind that, if you put it in multiple places, at least, you know, go to the bush somewhere up north.
Duplicating the... Okay, here's the key now. So it says write down your recovery phrase. I got my 12 words here. I'm just going to continue. It makes you type it back in, which I can't do because I didn't write it down. So it's not bad. Like, it's as much as you would get from, like, I don't know, thinking about Blue Wallet, for example, similar. Cold Card, the hardware wallet, obviously doesn't store the key on the device, but does make you type the key back to it the first time you set it up. So it's not, MetaMask as a product sucks because there's a lot of vulnerabilities, especially because those smart contracts in the MetaMask app seem to execute at inopportune times when the opportunity is there for the hacker. But broadly speaking, this is not MetaMask's fault. This is the fault of the morons who put it in LastPass. Dumb, 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 all the way down.
It's a combination. It's mostly the fault of the people that put it in LastPass, but also I wouldn't use MetaMask just because it has access and inclusion of so many of the
but where are you
crap
storing
coins out there?
Where are you storing all your LenFTs?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't want it to disclose that right now because it's still going to be ICO'd. And in the not too distant future, there's going to be an accompanying coin alongside it with it.
Signal, so the signal. Where's the signal chat we can go to for pre-sale?
Yeah, what's that? That lady that's doing all that.
I hate it's Lynn Elena Hepburn or something. I hate all
that's
that
the
stuff.
One. Yeah.
Listen, let's go to the next story. I've had it with this. I don't want to talk about MetaMask ever again. I'm telling Mark, no more MetaMask stories. That's it. No more.
I said it when I was reading it. There's not enough thumbs down I could give it, but we'll move on and talk about X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it these days. I never seem to understand what to call it. Anyways, they're planning to collect biometric data from premium users in order to combat fraud and impersonation on the platform.
Air quotes and up again there for people who are just listening. Combating fraud. The company, okay, Elon.
They have updated its privacy policy to reflect this change. And this is all expected to go live sometime later this month, actually September 29th to be specific. Let's see if things go on as planned. And under the new policy, X will be able to collect and use users' biometric information for, throw the air quotes here, safety, security, identification purposes. And this could include stuff such as fingerprints, facial scans, and voice prints. That's pretty damning stuff when you're getting the biometric data. The only thing you're missing is a scan of the eyeball. X says it's going to be using the biometric data to verify users' identity and to prevent unauthorized access to accounts. The company also says it will use the biometric data to detect and prevent impersonation attacks. Okay, this all sounds very good and all, but privacy experts out there are raising concerns that the collection and the use of the biometric data and what they're going to be doing with it, they argue that this data is sensitive and should not be collected without users' explicit consent. They're also worried that the data could be used for other purposes, such as targeted advertising or surveillance.
Yep.
X has addressed this in its privacy policy. For example, the company says we'll only collect biometric data from users who have explicitly consented to it. So X also says it's not going to share biometric data with third-party companies without users' consent. Yeah, right. However, privacy experts say that the assurances that they're provided is just not enough. They argue that they should not be collecting biometric data and they should be more transparent about what are their plans moving forward and how they're going to protect users' privacy. So, yeah, this is in a nutshell, they're going to be collecting all this sensitive information. This biometric data information is going to be used for, I guess, to try to protect us from impersonation attacks. And, I'm not a big fan of collecting biometric data. Thankfully, they're going to be only offering this ADA premium. And for those who are premium users, I can't believe you have to pay to get this. And it just seems like the worst way of doing it, paying it and having them steal this, or not steal, take the information. But at least you have to opt in. And I wonder how many people are going to opt in. I would probably love to see statistics. Every one of those people deserve to get slapped in the face because this is not the way you should be giving up data. This is precious information. This is your data. Cannot be replicated. Man, they can make AI stuff. We were talking about this with Zoom, I think it was, not too long ago. Was it Zoom?
Yeah.
So I mean, this is the same type of thing. They could take this information and replicate us in such a way that it could be used against us. Not very good at all, in my opinion.
I've never been so out on a service. I canceled my blue check. I'm happy to relish in the sort of, you know, middle of the algo reply sections of tweets that I reply to. I find myself using Twitter less and less anyways. I'm busy with other stuff. I'm trying to read more. And this is just another reason you shouldn't be on Twitter. Why give this guy your biometric data? What is the benefit of that? Do you really think that people are going to impersonate you? Are you really that concerned about messages that ask you how your trade is going? No, you should never be that concerned. Don't give him your data. Abandon the checkmark. Vote with your $10. Put it somewhere else. Buy Bitcoin with it. Buy a easy DNS hosting package with it. Buy whatever. But don't give it to Elon. It's a mistake. It's throwing good money after bad, I think. And I think a lot of people are starting to wake up to that fact. It seems to me like the tide on Twitter, both as a free speech platform and Elon as a product manager I don't know what the word would be, but, you know, a guy who represents, positive change in social media. I think both those things are fading now, and rightfully so. So I hope this hope this information continues to spread and people continue to make the right decision here.
Mm-hmm. You know, with the $10, you can also buy one of these bomb thrower shirts.
Bombthrower.com. Don't forget to buy one. Large, large, and true to size. Yep.
Yeah, they're really good. I'm not sure if they're still for sale, but anyways, if they are, definitely
get one. I gotta get one. I don't know why I don't have one. I never got one at the conference.
Oh my god, I don't remember how I got this. Anyways, Duolingo, and a lot of people have used this because there's a data breach exposed 2.6 million users, and this was discovered by cybersecurity researchers. And well, records, they were obtained via data scraping and it's all published on a Hacking Forum. And the data that's been published in the Hacking Forum includes usernames, email addresses, passwords, and other sensitive information that people entered when they created their Duolingo account. And the data scraping was carried out by an unknown actor using a variety of techniques to collect user data from Duolingo's website. The actor then published this on the Hacking Forum, which is now available for anybody to download. And the Duolingo has confirmed that the data is authentic, and they're working to investigate this incident and notify affected users. So it looks like it's not every user, maybe a specific segment of it, I don't know. But they're also taking steps to improve their security. So this way, this will not be repeated in the future. And this is a serious reminder out there that protecting personal information online is a key thing that companies need to do. A lot of them are not doing their part. And here's another example. And yeah, I don't know what else to say about this. It's pretty crappy stuff for anybody who's trying to learn a second, third, or fourth language. And now their information is available for anybody to download on there. And personal information on there. I don't know what else they threw on there, like in terms of sensitive information. But it almost makes me want to go look at it, but I don't. You know what I mean? What information does Duolingo capture? Well,
I'll tell you because I have gender? Duo Pro. I have Duo Pro. It captures gender. You have a picture on there, probably a password, email, and among other things. All you can really say about this line is "Oh mon Dieu." I think that basically captures. Si vous utilisez un service sans une façon qui est propre avec votre mot de passe, probablement votre information. Va être disponible pour quelques autres, probablement. That's all French. Maybe your daughter speaks French, right? Maybe she can tell me how that was. That was off the cuff. But yeah, I think that like Duo is kind of a weird honeypot. I think most of these things, like when I see a service like Duo hacked, my immediate assumption, and I don't know this to be true or not true, or like if it's the intention, but my immediate assumption is people will use the same email password that they use for Duolingo, right? And so you have the email, you have the Duo password, and you just head to Gmail, Yahoo, whatever, and hope that it works. That's got to be it, right? Because then you can get 2FA and other stuff. Because Duo itself, like if somebody wants to go keep my streak alive and do the quick verb refresher, you know, in the morning, go for it. I don't care. But you can't go wrong with a million users or 2.6 million users. At least a few of them for sure are using the same passwords all the way through. So get to take care of your password, man. Your email password should be one of the most difficult things to crack in the world. And if it's not, you know, change it. Definitely change it.
Yeah, and the last story we'll be talking about exactly that, but we'll be talking about something else. Just prior to that, we'll be going to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And just this month, a Saudi court sentenced a gentleman by the name of Mohammed bin Nasser Al Ghamdi.
And hold on, are we rating that name?
No, a name you can't rate. I'm not going to rate somebody's okay, proper name.
Okay.
No, this is proper right. name he was given.
I think that I was going to, you know, for the record, that's a pretty good name. I think it's like it's like regal almost. Like it's like a regal name. It feels like.
So bin means something, and Al also means something. I forget exactly what it is, but I think one is they're born in this area, or another one is their father is this person. I forget what it is, but if you look at it, it makes sense. It's that's just the historically that's where it's done. In the names in that neck of the woods. Unfortunately, Mr. Al Ghamdi was sentenced to death, and this is as a result of his post on Twitter and his activity on YouTube. And the sentence is the latest in a widening crackdown on dissent in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And this is drawing a lot of criticism from the international community. And Al Ghamdi's posts were critical of the Saudi government and its policies. He was also critical of the country's religious establishment and its role in society. His YouTube videos were also critical of the government and its policies. The Saudi government, they've been on this for a little while. They've been cracking down on this dissent for quite some time, particularly those that are doing this online. And the government has arrested and imprisoned hundreds of people for online activities, and some have already been sentenced to death. This is another one. And Al Ghamdi's case is particularly egregious because he was sentenced to death strictly for his online post. His post did not incite any violence, did not call for the overthrow of the government. Instead, it was just simply critical of the government and its policies. And it's just showing you that in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, they mean business. And this whole crackdown is part of the Crown Prince, MBS. It's this wider effort to consolidate his power and silence any opposition. MBS has cracked down on corruption as well, and economic reform in the country is kind of putting his heel on that. So there you go. The international community continues to condemn Saudi Arabia for what's going on over there, but they have one thing we all need. It's oil. So we could turn a blind eye to this just because of what they provide the world, and it's something we sorely need, depending who you talk to these days. I mean, some people like green stuff, but reality is this is just the what they do, and we turn a blind eye to it, which is too bad. But this gentleman, unfortunately, is going to be sentenced to death, and there's nothing we could do about it. There's absolutely nothing we could do about it.
We turn, you say we turn a blind eye. You know, I don't think that this is directly, it's not quite, you know, the same situation across both stories, but how much different is this from what the U.S. is doing to Assange? You know,
like that's a good comparison.
It's not apt. It's not, you know, identical. But when you say we turn a blind eye, I think we more often turn a blind eye to what's going on in the first world, honestly, because I think I look at the story. And I think like, man, this sounds an awful lot like someone else I know. And it's really a shame that we're
doing what are the comparables here? They're okay, both sentenced to punishment.
Basically death. Right.
Assange is. I'm sorry.
They're not going to execute him. But I mean, they might if they get him back. But you know, certainly he's not going to see the light of day again. Absolutely not.
Right.
There's no chance. Okay. Yeah.
But so the end result is, I mean, we could debate this all we want. They're each going to be sentenced, given a sentence which might be too much given the crime. I guess that's going to be. So the crime itself.
The crime is exposing. Exposing maybe is even too strong a phrase, but the crime is, shedding light on irregular, improper, unethical, whatever activities or criticizing government policy. I don't know. Like, is that certainly it's in the past, regardless of, you know, the status of your democracy and the, you know, stage of development you are as a nation, it's been punishable by basically death everywhere in the world. And we turn a blind eye to it here a lot of the time, but man, it's a lot of similarities there, a lot of similarities.
Well, let's do the last story because Microsoft SQL or SQL, I'm going to call it SQL. Mm-hmm. And they're, well, people are using the SQL servers to deliver ransomware. And this is done by taking advantage of unsecured SQL servers. And a new ransomware spawned a name. Well, it's called Free World. You know what? I'm going to give that 3.5. It's not too bad. Not terrible. 3.5. I mean, I think it's decent,
sort of great, sort of presumptive, bit of a grandstand, isn't it? Free World. I mean, come on. I'm giving it a 2.4 for me.
Okay. Well, yeah. I guess I'm more lenient than you. Well, Free World, I like it. I don't like what it does though. It's been noted that this is the first successful attack. That was done was accessing a victim's host account. So this was done using brute force. We talked about it two stories ago, and make sure you have passwords that are hard to crack. And so once the hackers got in through brute force, they executed some shell commands that attacked the firewall, and it was game on at that point. And at that point, they were able to set up a way to transfer files in and out, including some malicious tools, and the rest is history. So to be brief with this one, the attackers really outlined the importance of using passwords that are difficult or impossible to crack using brute force. This would have stopped this brute force attack in their tracks if they did this, but it's the same old stuff. And this is stuff that we normally don't hear about with Microsoft SQL Server, SQL servers, but here we go. There are some vulnerabilities related to it. And even this mighty software that it comes from a gigantic company has some holes in it. So be very careful. Don't use crappy passwords.
Welcome to another episode of Absence of Crappy Passwords, basically today.
It's the theme of the day.
What are we talking about? It literally, like, you want to talk about lowest common denominator communications, okay? Like we used to talk about on CBP long ago. When you type in a password, even on MetaMask, when I just made my fake account there, you type in a password, it literally gives you like four bars. Red, it comes up, says very weak. And then the next red is weak. And then the next one is good. And then the last one is excellent or secure.
You missed it. The colors would be yellow, then green.
I don't know. Maybe it is. Yeah, red,
typically
red,
that would, yellow, it would be.
But like, yeah. Len, how can you not figure this out? Is this why so many people don't know whether or not they're supposed to slow down or speed up at traffic lights too? Maybe we're onto a broader problem in society here. People don't know what the colors mean, Len. They must not. What is the other explanation for this? How does this keep happening? The password is the only job of the password. I feel like Jerry Seinfeld. The only job of the password is to secure the account. Like, it's not that hard. Why can't people do this?
There's so many passwords that people
he just shrugs. Audio only people, Len just shrugs. I was like, oh,
so much. Think about it. That's why people are relying on stuff like LastPass. They could create something that is, you know, challenging to hack into, but yet difficult to remember. So they rely on services that get hacked, and they're back to square one. So really,
to make my
onus is on you.
Password easy enough to remember.
In essence, you're screwed every way if you're outsourcing stuff. You have to take the onus. It has to be on you. You have to find ways to secure it, encrypt it, and store it properly, and make sure you know how to decrypt that. So if you encrypt something, it's not done one way. You forget the password to unlock it. This is really the only way. The onus is on you. And it's just like Bitcoin. I don't want to bring this up, but the only way you could lose your Bitcoin is if you make a mistake. That's the reality. If you do it properly, you're not going to lose it. Same thing with passwords. If you do it properly, your information, whatever you're typing this password into secure, that stuff will remain secured as well.
Get out of here, animals. That's the end of the show. We'll see you next week. Take care of yourselves.
Yeah, take care.